Welcome to the weekly podcast of River Valley Church. We're glad you're here. Our heart is to lead people to Jesus and launch them into their God-given purpose. So we pray you would encounter God in a fresh, new way today. To learn more about our church, visit rivervalley.org. Now, let's tune in to this week's message.
I want to welcome you again to River Valley Church. And right now, Apple Valley, can we welcome everybody watching online, all of our campuses and missionaries around the world? Thank you for being here this weekend. And so excited to jump into the text. In just a moment, we're going to Acts chapter 3, which is awesome. If you remember, our vision verse for the year is in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and we'll read that as well. But I loved last week. If you were here last week, Pastor Rob taught on the 40 days of Jesus after his resurrection and the 40 days that came after that to his ascension. Jesus right now sits at the right hand of the Father. And there were some significant things that happened in that 40 days. And the way Pastor Rob ended that message, he said the disciples were looking up in the sky. And the point of that moment is for the disciples and for us today that we should stop gazing, we should get the power, and we should get going. Stop gazing, get the power, get going. And if you know the Christian calendar, the church calendar, on May 19th, we've got the day of Pentecost, the Pentecost weekend, where we are going to talk about how to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about getting the power. And so I'd love to spend this time today talking about the get going. So if you like what today is, come back Pentecost weekend and say, let's get the power so that we can get going. And you can get the power anytime. That's just a caveat. I also just want to highlight this. This is before we jump in. Highlight the fact that this year, River Valley, we've seen 295 people get water baptized. And we celebrate baptism across the house. Hundreds of people this year. Those are real people, real testimonies, real stories, proclaiming, declaring their faith in Jesus Christ. Can we read our vision verse for the year, Acts chapter 2, verse 47? And then we'll just turn the page to Acts chapter 3. It says this, praising God. The church was praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The vision of this year is we are going to praise God like never before. We're praying that God would have his favor on our church, but not just the church, your family, your life, your business, your neighborhood, that you would see God's favor like you've never seen it before. And the last part of that verse is that the Lord added to their number day by day those were being saved. Praise, favor, and salvation. The day of Pentecost happens, Acts 2:47 happens, and now it's the get going, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read 11 verses now. It says, now Peter and John were going up from the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And he was about to receive something. But Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And just one more verse, verse 16. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. This weekend is about the fact that God still does miracles. That God still does miracles. Are we a part of a church that believes in the miraculous power of God? That everything we read in the Bible is still true today, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And I believe that in this church, God wants to do a miracle at this campus and across the house, and not just the miraculous in our church, but through our church into our neighborhoods and in our workplaces and in our families and in our friends. That God wants to use you in a miraculous way. The title of this message is "The Miracle Worker Is Gone and Miracles Still Happen." Let's pray one more time as we go. Lord, we thank you that your presence is here. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, Lord, that you do the miraculous today. And I know that there are countless needs in our church, countless needs represented in our workplaces and neighborhoods and everywhere we go. And Lord, you see them all. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we can receive a miracle immediately today. I believe you're going to do it. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We acknowledge your presence. We humble ourselves in your presence. Would you do what you want to do? In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Have you ever had deja vu? It's been a while for me, to be honest. I can't really put my finger on the last time I had it, but it's, you know, when I was a kid, it had a lot more. Where you, if you don't know what deja vu is, it's like, you're living in a moment and you kind of have this realization or awareness. So you're like, have I been here before? Did this happen? And not just like, have I been in this place before? But like, did this happen before? This feels eerily familiar. Like, what's happening? And for me, sometimes I remember being a kid and be like, don't move. I don't want to ruin it, you know? And as soon as you have that thought, don't move it, don't want to ruin it, it's gone. It's like, it was kind of cool. There's a social media trend right now where there are people that kind of a man on the street style where they'll have identical twins dress up in the same outfit and bump into somebody on the street and kind of have an interaction like, oh, I'm so sorry. Enjoy your day. Good. You know, sorry. You know, and then the identical twin is right behind them, just a few yards. And the person that was bumped into keeps walking and bumps into the identical twin. And it's like, you know, you watch the video just at the tail end of the video. All these people are like, am I losing my mind? What is happening? And I love that also because we have twins. They're not identical, but I love it. I wonder if Peter was having a little bit of deja vu in Acts chapter 3 as he's on his way to the temple, because it's eerily familiar of a miracle that Jesus performed, that Peter was present at in Luke chapter 18. Can we read that miracle? Okay, we read Acts 3. Let's read the miracle that Jesus did, that Peter, he was there and witnessed and saw with his eyes. Luke 18, verses 35 through 43 says, as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told the blind man, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front of him rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. There's some overlap in this story. It's almost like deja vu, and I wonder if it is the remembrance of that miracle that Jesus performed that Peter saw with his eyes, that as he and John were walking to the temple that day, even though the miracle worker is gone, they're now filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just wonder if it was kind of ringing in his mind and in his heart, have I been here before? Has this happened before? And maybe he thought, it has happened, and I remember what Jesus did with that blind man, and now I'm going to step into the authority that was delegated to me by Jesus himself, and I'm going to see what he may do. The overlap is amazing. On the way, Jesus was on the way to Jericho. Peter and John on the way to the temple. In the way, somebody's in the way. It was on the roadside outside of Jericho and by the beautiful gate in Jerusalem. The solution was passing by. Jesus of Nazareth passing by. Peter passed by with the power of the Holy Spirit. The solution stops. Jesus stopped. Peter directed his gaze. There was an ask. There was a question. Lord, let me recover my sight. And the lame man was asking for alms or asking for money. And the word immediately, did you pick that out? The word immediately. The lame man was lame from birth. And I just love how God is so good that even though he dealt with something so long and we don't know how many years, but that guy year after year, day after day, all of a sudden immediately had an encounter with the power of God. And the multiplication of praise in both stories, there are witnesses and they are astonished. They're astounded. They're some other cool word that starts with A. They're pumped. And they want to know where that power come from. I want to know where that came from. I want to know who that came from. The miracle worker is gone, but miracles still happen. In Acts chapter 3, what we read, it is the first specified miracle. It's the very first specific miracle after the ascension of Jesus, which is significant because people are probably wondering, we know Jesus, he came back, and then everybody's saying he floated up into the sky. Is he back again? They're probably wondering, like, is it Jesus that's doing it? And can I tell you today, it's Jesus that's doing it. Even in this year where we're at right now, when we experience miracles, it is Jesus, and it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that he is doing the miraculous. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came, said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Great Commission. And I love this. The miracles still happen because the power of the Holy Spirit is there. In that final verse, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus was with Peter that day through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is with the church today through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The church gets going. 40 days with Jesus was just getting them ready. 40 days after the resurrection was just getting them ready to say, hey, go get the power. And we're going to talk more about that and get going. This miracle right here is the revving up of the get going of the church that's now gone over 2,000 years. And are you willing today to get going in the power of the Holy Spirit? I'd love to just kind of talk through verse by verse if that's okay, because I think that's a great way to approach Bible reading is going verse by verse and seeing the significance in that time and also how that applies to us today. Peter and John, they were going to the temple, the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Get up and get going. They were going to the temple. Between their homes and the temple, God had a plan to use them. And for us today, between your home and weekend worship in the church, God has a plan to use you. It's not just that he wants to do something in your life, but he wants to do something through your life. You can read this story and identify with the lame man and say, God, I need a miracle. And that's just fine. But also, can you identify with the fact that God uses Peter in between his home and going to the weekend worship, the temple, the day by day, the worshiping together with the saints, with the church. God uses Peter. And you can identify with Peter today saying, God, would you use me?
It's not just about the miracle that I'd love to receive, but would you use me to minister to the people in my life? And I love Peter and John. Pastor Rob shared last week, Jesus redeemed and restored Peter. Because Peter had denied Christ. You might say, I'm kind of like a Peter. I've gone off the way and I'm unusable. It's going to be the good people. It's going to be the educated people. It's going to be the people that, you know, they've done all the right things. And Peter did some wrong things, but he's been redeemed and restored. And God wants to redeem and restore you and use you. So much so, Jesus said, you'll do the same works that I do and even greater. You want to know what's pretty cool is God used Peter's shadow to heal somebody. You might identify with John, grew up in the church, gave your life to Christ at a young age, been doing the right thing, not perfect, but just doing the right thing. John was, he was at the cross. He stood at the cross and watched Jesus while everybody else is running. And I love that God uses Peter and God uses John. No matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, the goodness that you've lived in, or the sin that you've lived in, be redeemed, be restored, and be used by the power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't just want to give you a miracle. He wants miracles to flow through you to this world. 10 more verses. The man lame from birth was carried, lay daily at the gate. I won't read the whole thing, but the man was lame from birth, and I love that God's power is so strong that even, it's not just the little things that he cares about that he can meet those needs, but it's the things that people were born with. It's the generational stuff that people picked up that Jesus has the power to overcome. There is no enemy. There is no darkness, there is no sickness that has power over the power of Jesus Christ. Lame from birth and get up and walk. God wants you to use you to heal things and people that have been around a long time, laid at the beautiful gate. Seeing Peter, and that word seeing is actually significant. It's the same word that the wise men looked up into the sky to find Jesus. It was with that word and with that intent of looking up and looking up at Peter and looking for something intently and intensely. And Peter looks at the lame man intently and intensely. Matthew 5:8, the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And when you look with those eyes, you will see God, the world that's hungry. God said eternity in the hearts of man. When they're hungry and honest and humble, saying, God, they might not believe in God, so they might even throw up a prayer like that. But they're earnest and they're, what is the truth and what am I missing? And blessed are the pure in heart because they will see God. I believe it. He asks for alms, and there's a difference between the miracle in Luke chapter 18. Jesus says, what do you want? And he says, Lord, would you restore my sight? Let me receive my sight. And in this story, the miracle worker's gone, and this man is not asking that he would be able to walk. He's asking for alms. He's asking for provision. And church, when did we stop asking for the power of God and replace it with money and things? Why aren't we asking for the power of God? And it might be because you're tired. You've been asking for a long time, like this man was asking for a long time. And some scholars believe that Jesus himself walked by this lame man. And so I wonder if there was a time in his life that he said, I want to be healed. And maybe Jesus didn't hear him, or maybe it just wasn't time and God had this plan orchestrated, waiting for Acts chapter 3. I wonder if Peter himself walked by this man before, walking into the temple, because it said daily, and this guy from birth was lame, and I just wonder if Jesus saw him, and I wonder if the lame man was saying, I want to be healed, I want to walk, but somehow between Jesus walking on planet Earth and the ascension, now he's asking for money, and sometimes we do that. In our ailment, or in our sickness, or in our complication, rather than asking for the transformative power of God, we ask for comfort in money and things, to ease our pain,
to take the edge off a little bit. And I want to encourage the church right now and anybody watching. It's not that money and things are bad, but it is bad if it's at the expense of asking for the power of God, that we need to put our eyes back on Jesus, that we need to seek his face. God, yes, would you have mercy on me and make my situation a little bit more comfortable, but I'm bringing my ask higher. Would you transform my life from the inside out? Would you heal me? Would you free me? Would you restore me? Verses 4 and 5, Peter directed his gaze. He fixed his eyes on him. And the man was expecting to receive something. And just an encouragement to us that when you're full of the Spirit of God, you're a Christ follower, you always have something to give. Always have something to give. And I'll just pause here. We're going to have a ministry moment here and at every campus, praying over to the needs in this church. But also, it's for us to also identify that God wants to do something this week. This week, it's somebody's immediate miracle this week. And God wants to use you. And we're going to pray. But I love that Peter didn't say, hey, buddy, I'll be praying for you. I love that we have this example in the Bible that it's not even just, let me lay hands on you, a prayer of peace and comfort and comfortability. And maybe you can get a new cushion to sit on. It will... Sometimes we do that in the church. Let's just pray that, man, just take the edge off. And I'm not saying that that's a bad prayer, but at the expense of the miracle. And this is for the prayer teams and everybody in our church. And for me, I want to live it out. And an easy one to start with is be blessed. Be blessed. That's pretty easy, but even using that vernacular, like you might not, so it's a step into it. Be blessed. And it can go further. Be healed. Be set free. Be delivered. Be made new. Be made right. And God wants to use the church. I really believe this as the example in Acts chapter 3. God wants to use the church to use a declarative call to action. He doesn't say, buddy, I'll be praying for you. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And where is that? Let's do that. And I got to be honest. We'll get there. I got to be honest. As a pastor and studying and you're just in this text and you're like, whoa, there's some ingredients here. But just being honest, I don't know. I don't know if it's, you know, Peter, he really means it this time. I'm not going to deny you. Or if it's the fancy words that he's using of, you know, I'm not just going to pray for him. I'm going to declare. I don't know if it's the faith in the moment. I don't know. You know, you want to put the ingredients together. You want to be able to have some sense of control in this. Like I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be bold and I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to say something like be healed. And then how do I put this together? And I just want to tell you openly and honestly, transparently, I don't know the exact ingredients to control it every time. But the control is not in my hands. It's in the hands of Jesus Christ. That it's his will. It's his way. And the miracle is waiting in heaven for every single person. It will land someday if people would give their lives to Jesus. Every miracle will land, and not just for a moment, but for all eternity. Every miracle is but a foretaste of heaven. Even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, died again. So praise God for the miracles we experience on this earth. It is like a taste of heaven on earth, but it's just that, a taste. And there's a day coming for you and for me, those that are in Christ, that we get to go to heaven for all eternity. And we get to sit in the miraculous power and presence of God forever and ever and ever. The miracle's not so much about that miracle. It's about our blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, but a foretaste of glory divine. When's the hymn pop-up praise night? Let's go. Declarative call to action. Peter said, I don't have silver and gold. What I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk.
He took him by the right hand, raised him up. Immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Leaping, he stood and began to walk, entered the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Peter didn't have money on him because he wasn't clinging to it. And Peter gave him the greater thing. And are we out there giving the greater thing? Man, I'm all about a meal. I'm all about presence, all about crisis care. We need it. But not without the greater thing. God wants to do a miracle. I'm bringing faith into the room. I'm bringing a declarative call to action and see what God would do. I'm okay looking dumb for Jesus. He can prove himself. He can do what he wants to do. And if it's not that time, it's okay. It's up to him. But the miracle waits in heaven, and I know that there's delegated authority. I'm going to step in. God, would you heal right now? Right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but right now in the name of Jesus. And there's an immediate miracle. His feet and ankles made strong. And I really believe this also, with what we're dealing with in our country and in our world and in our neighborhoods and families, that weak and broken, faulty foundations are being fortified with the cornerstone that the builders rejected. His feet and ankles made firm, and God wants to take every situation in this world and make it firm, a firm foundation on the cornerstone, and his name is Jesus. He's doing it. It was prophesied in Isaiah 35 that the lame will leap like a deer, and we see that prophecy come true right here in Acts chapter 3. If we see it in Acts 3, we can see it today. We can see it today. I'm going to ask that the worship team come out here in every location. In just a moment, we're going to sing and worship and praise God that we get to praise God. But also, we're going to believe that God could do a miracle even today. That God could do a miracle even today. And I'm going to ask that after we sing a chorus and after I pray, that campus pastors would come up and lead a ministry moment. And it's not in our good doing or right words or right trying. It's not even faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. It's about the power of God. It's about the fact that the miracle worker sits at the right hand of the Father, but we've got the Holy Spirit. And miracles still happen today. This one last thing before we sing and before we pray. There's something awesome about miracles. If you understand the miracle in Acts chapter 3, you can understand the purpose of all miracles. Miracles on this earth, there is a purpose. I call it miraculous assimilation. Assimilation is the process of becoming a part of something. Every miracle has these three, and in Acts chapter 3, we see these three points. One is the pursuit. Peter pursues this lame man. He fixes his eyes. In Luke 18, Jesus stopped. He said, bring him to me. There's this pursuit. I want to bring you close. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The second thing, miracle assimilation, the purpose of all miracles here on earth, is restoration, to be restored. We talked about Peter being restored. This man who was lame from birth was restored into the God-designed natural order. That this isn't something in excess of God's design. This is God's design, being restored how it was originally designed, that this man would be healed and whole and walking and leaping and praising God. Restoration. And the third one is brought in. The man stood up, walked, entered the temple with them. If you understand this miracle, you can understand the purpose of every miracle on this earth. How God wants to use you and why he would do a miracle in your life is because he's pursuing his children. He's restoring his children. And he's bringing them in. He is adding day by day those that are being saved. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes here and at every campus? I'm gonna just do a moment across every campus. If you're here, under the sound of my voice, if you want to be healed in just a moment, I'm gonna ask that you would stand to your feet. Mentally, physically, emotionally, you want healing. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Don't get confused with another Jesus. Don't get confused with another person calling themselves the Messiah. Don't get confused. It is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Peter was specific. We're specific. There is one Savior. There is one Messiah. His name is Jesus. If you want to be healed in just a moment. If you want to be fruitful and multiply, that there's a spectrum there. You want to have children. You want to have grandchildren. You want your business to grow. You want favor in the workplace. You want to grow in your position. Well, you want to be fruitful and multiply. In just a moment, you can stand. You want to be set free. Even if you've given your life to Christ, there's greater freedom. It is for freedom that Christ set you free. You want to be encouraged. And encouraged is not a weak word. It is infused with the courage of Jesus. Maybe you're doubting or anxious or worried. You want to be encouraged. In just a moment, you can stand to your feet. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God. You can stand to your feet. You want to be made new, or if you want to be forgiven. So just with heads bowed and eyes closed here at every campus, if that's you, any one of those, right now, would you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray a prayer over each person standing, believing that this weekend is a weekend of miracles. Miracles still happen. Miracles still happen. Lord, I pray over every person, every situation, every need. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that people would be healed, that people would be fruitful and multiply, people would be set free. People would be made new. People would be restored. People would be forgiven forever and ever and ever. Lord, I pray that you would work a miracle right now in our church and through our church. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen. Church, if you're not standing, would you stand to your feet? And let's worship at every campus.